today on Compassion Radio.
So we transfer the younger kids to a private Christian school. That little boy was so determined to excel. This is a school where most of the kids, their families have money, and then we have our few orphans in there with them, right? So this kid, an orphan who lost his mom when he was six, almost starved to death, went and took his national exams, and they were such high scores that the government called us and said, hey, this kid, we want to take him to our top gifted and talented school for pre-engineering. It's the best school we have, and we want him there. Will you allow that? Yes, we will.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Kulea Child Care Villages is a faith-based charity dedicated to rescuing and raising orphans and vulnerable children in East Africa. All this week, Bram's wife Sandy connects with Deborah Brown, the head of this wonderful ministry, to talk about the amazing work God is doing in the lives of so many precious children in Kenya and Tanzania. Here's Sandy with part three of that conversation.
We're back again with Deborah Brown from Kulea Villages. And we're going to continue what we were talking about in our earlier program. We're going to talk a little bit more about the actual ministry of Kulea. I want to welcome you back to the program, Deborah. Thanks for coming back again with us.
Thank you, Sandy. It's so good to see you again and be here.
Good. Tell us again what Kulea means and how you came up with that, because it sounds very scriptural to me.
Well, knowing that God was calling us to work in both Kenya and Tanzania, and that in Kenya, the national language is English. Until, I don't know when it was, 25 years ago, maybe, it was Swahili. But in Tanzania, it's still Swahili mm-hmm. is the national language. Then I felt really strongly from the very beginning, before we ever registered, that we need a name that has English in it. If you see childcare villages, you kind of know what that maybe could look like, sort of. But if you're a Swahili speaker only and you know no English and you saw the one word Kulea, that doesn't just mean to raise up like vegetables in your garden. They know it involves children when they see the word, even though the word Watoto is not part of it, which is for children. If you see Kulea, you know we're about raising children. So I thought that was enough. And then a good friend of mine was an artist, Nicole Ziegler, and I went to her and I said, how would you feel about designing our logo? And so she worked with me, and bless her heart. She kept sending me designs. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. And one day she sent, well, I'm going to try something really crazy and different, and sent me something. I'm like, that's exactly the logo. So I love our logo, and we've not changed it. But anyway, so that's how we chose the name and why.
I read that on your website that it means to raise, and you have in parentheses a child, and it hearkened up to me the scripture that says, train up a child, raise up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And in Proverbs, it just really came alive to me when I saw that. And your logo, too, that goes along with it, with the child.
Great.
And I thought, wow, that's really beautiful. I've heard the word Kulea. Well, I think it's a sweet name. It is kind of an all-inclusive thing. We're raising up children. And before we even started recording, you talked of a young gal that grew up within the ministry of Kulea. I want you to talk about her and the one that is now soon to be preschool teacher. Talk a little bit to me about this gal, but then I want to hear some stories too about the successes that you've had, the children that you have walked through their life with them, basically growing up within the ministry of Kulea. And then I want to talk a little bit too about maybe some things that didn't turn out quite so well, but how maybe God is redeeming that as well.
So the young lady that I was telling you about before we went on air is our oldest of the children that we've rescued. And so she's been with us from the beginning. She's older than you would think for someone about to finish a 2-year college degree, because most of our kids didn't have the chance for school until we came along. So they may have started school at age 10 or 9, which was her case. She is in Tanzania. And so the pastor there was visiting in a village nearby where he kept getting reports that the village people would say were really upset. Another child has died. And they literally were finding children dying of starvation in their streets. And they would be like, the child's parents died 3 weeks ago and they've just starved to death because everyone here is hungry. We tried to feed them. All the villagers gave them something, but it's not enough. It was just breaking our pastor's heart. And he went to the village and said, God has led my wife and I to take some children and help them. Tell me who's in the most need. We could take one, maybe two. And he said, this brother and sister, so this is the girl, mm-hmm. their mom was taking care of them and she died of a very bad disease, all they would call it, the slim disease or whatever they would say, which we know to be AIDS. But she died probably 2.5 weeks ago and they are just hungry. They're living alone in the house where she was. Mm. So the little girl was 9 and the little boy was 6 and she was trying to take care of him.
Wow.
3 years later, she was interviewed by us. And she said, during that time, I felt every day that the two of us are going to lay down and die because of starvation. We were that hungry. I still remember it. And I had men that would ask me to go with them and do something with them. But my mother had taught me about that and it told me that that's wrong. But they were promising me food or even a meal for both of us. And it was so tempting because I felt when I say no, then I'm hurting my brother. Mm. But if I were to say yes, my mother, I believe, is watching over me. And my mother would be so disappointed. So I said no. And we just stayed hungry. And one day, the village elder that I know came to me and said, this is Pastor Romy. And he says you can come and live with him and they will send you to school. And she said it was too much of a dream to be true. So we were waiting for what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that there's Kulea behind him. We didn't know what Kulea is. We didn't know any of that. We just knew that maybe we'll have food today, so maybe we should go with him. And we trust the elder who brought him to us. We were very afraid, and we went with him 7 kilometers down the road to his home. And after 24 hours, we're like, okay, we had 3 meals, and we have a place to sleep, but maybe tomorrow they'll make us be their slave, because a lot of people take an orphan in. Mm-hmm. The orphan is fed last, their kids are fed first, and the orphan eats if there's food left. And they do all the laundry, they do all the work, and they're told, hey, we're giving you a place to live. This is your job now. We thought that would be ours, but no, he takes us to register us for school. And then they take us to buy some clothes. And suddenly we're like living the dream that we're going to school every day and we're still getting 3 meals. But she said it took a long time, almost 6 months before I really believed that trend would continue because I so didn't believe it from day one.
So traumatized.
And she said, my life, I'm like living a dream. I got an education. Do you know how rare that is? Mm-hmm. In the village where I come from, people were dying around me of starvation. And I got taken out. I don't know why. And he saved my brother too. She continued through the government schools and has wanted to be a preschool teacher. And she's told me, I would just want to work for Kulea. And I'm like, work for Kulea? Why? And she said, because what you did for me, I just want to help other orphans. Mm. And I thought, how sweet is that? She just now feels that what they do, taking care of orphans, is what she wants to do. I loved that, you know? So I said, well, maybe one day we'll have a school and you can teach in it. But for now, you need to pursue your dream. And so she's finishing up school. Her brother, on the other hand, was young enough that he started in government school. But a couple of years later, we had enough sponsors. We were able to remove most of the kids, but not this young woman because she was too close to national exams. Long story, unless you're Tanzanian or Kenyan, then you
far enough along that it would benefit her to stay there.
Yes, they were about to take them and she couldn't. Anyway, so we transferred the younger kids to a private Christian school. And that little boy was so determined to excel. He's bright anyway, but he's so dedicated to studying. This is a school where most of the kids, their families have money. The father's like a government leader or a lawyer, or someone from another country living nearby. Mm-hmm. And then we have our few orphans in there with them, right? So this kid, an orphan who lost his mom when he was 6, almost starved to death, came out number 1 in his class at the end of primary school, of class of 33, went and took his national exams, and they were such high scores that the government called us and said, hey, this kid, we want to take him to our top gifted and talented school for pre-engineering. It's a high school. And it's a long way, it's in Mtwara, but it's the best school we have and we want him there. Will you allow that? Yes, we will. So he's pursuing his dream. I went and saw him last February this year. And I said, so you used to say you wanted to be a pilot when you were, 10 years old. And he said, oh no, Mama Lindsay, now I'm going to be an engineer. In fact, I'm already studying civil engineering. I was like, wow. So that's really, to me, the success. The kids are emotionally stable. They're rooted in Christ. They feel like they were rescued from something terrible, mm-hmm. and they want to give back. And they're taking what's been given to them. And Pastor Romy and his wife have taught them, this is your opportunity. Mm-hmm. Grab it and don't let go.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram.
You know, every Compassion Radio broadcast is a unique opportunity for us, for you, and for the kingdom of God around the world. For us, because we get to make the case that God is doing some amazing things right now in the places and in ways you might never have suspected. For you, because you get the opportunity to enter into these stories through your prayers and financial support. And it's an opportunity for the kingdom of God, because they get to speak directly to you. Thank you, friends, for making it all possible. As God enables you, I humbly ask that you would continue your partnership with us as the Lord Himself leads you to. We can't be the voice for global mission without you.
If you'd like to partner with Compassion Radio, you can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com. If you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. To Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So we transfer the younger kids to a private Christian school. And that little boy was so determined to excel. He's bright anyway, but he's so dedicated to studying. This is a school where most of the kids, their families have money. The father's like a government leader or a lawyer or someone from another country living nearby. Mm-hmm. And then we have our few orphans in there with them, right? So this kid, an orphan who lost his mom when he was six, almost starved to death, came out number one in his class at the end of primary school,
wow,
a class of 33, went and took his national exams, and they were such high scores that the government called us and said, hey, this kid, we want to take him to our top gifted and talented school for pre-engineering. It's a high school, and it's a long way. It's in Mtwara, but it's the best school we have, and we want him there. Will you allow that? Yes, we will. So he's pursuing his dream. I went and saw him last February this year, and I said, so you used to say you wanted to be a pilot when you were, you know, 10 years old. And he said, oh, no, Mama Lindsay, now I'm going to be an engineer. In fact, I'm already studying civil engineering. I was like, wow. So that's really, to me, the success. The kids are emotionally stable. They're rooted in Christ. They feel like they were rescued from something terrible, mm-hmm, and they want to give back. And they're taking what's been given to them. And Pastor Romy and his wife have taught them, this is your opportunity. Mm-hmm. Grab it and don't let go. Like so many kids across the country don't have what you have right now.
Right.
You have a sponsor, or you have several sponsors. Go for it. And so that's what we see them doing.
This is the beginning then of what Kulea, what your dream was with Kulea, mm-hmm, to rescue these children out of tragic, traumatic,
yes,
life situations. Now, are all of your orphans complete orphans? Or are some of them economic orphans? Are some of them still having parents alive somewhere, but just they're unable to care for the children? Mm-hmm. What different kinds of programs do you have for, mm-hmm, the children?
So we have a few kids who are total orphans living in Pastor Romy's house. But the majority of the kids in Kenya and Tanzania have one remaining relative. Mm-hmm. Typically, not always, but especially in Tanzania, it's like an older grandmother. Mm-hmm. It's the last one. So as long as there's some family member who is not abusive and who loves that child, we would rather support the child in that home. We think they're way better, mm-hmm, always. Even if we had a beautiful house to put them in, they're better with family.
Family.
And so we have more kids in that situation. In Kenya, we have a couple of families. The children do have a mom and a dad, totally out of work, not able to support the family, not enough food, no one's in school. So we've taken those kids for a time. And the fun thing is when we hear back a dad say, I got a job. I just need 3 months and I'm going to take over sending my child to school. So we've actually exited children from the program whose parents actually found work. That's not always the case. Mm-hmm.
But that's a great success as well. And that's,
yes, I mean,
that's a God story for their life.
It is.
That God is raising up their families to.
So we always call those children that we support who aren't total orphans, we say vulnerable children. You might see that or read that somewhere. That's sort of what that means. And we just take kids on a case-by-case basis, look at their story, and then really look to see, is there a relative somewhere? Maybe they live 8 hours away and we just don't have a way to get the child there. Let's take them there. Let's. Mm-hmm. We want to reunify families as much as possible. Along those lines, we'll have families come to us and say, this child is an orphan. You need to take them in. And we check into the story. No, his mother lives down the street. She wants him to get a good education. So she's giving him up. Go tell them you're an orphan. So we're really careful to check into those stories. And that's why we work hand in hand with local churches in Africa. Mm-hmm. They know the people. I can go and live there the rest of my life and will still not know half of what you know if you grow up,
right,
and you are Tanzanian, you are Kenyan. And that's why we so heavily depend on our partner churches.
You're talking about partnering a lot. You've mentioned that quite, mm-hmm, a few times. So talk to me a little bit about how you find these partner churches. You're, mm-hmm, looking for local churches in, mm-hmm, country, mm-hmm, working together closely with nationals to rescue, in a way, these children. How, mm-hmm, do you go about finding these churches? Is it word of mouth, or is it, I mean, I know you talked earlier about how you had some God moments in that too, and I'm
yes,
assuming that's going to be a big part of your story there.
You're right. You're right. So the two that we have partnered with up until now, God said, you're going to go work with the people I've showed you, you know, when I used to be a professor and I've stayed in touch with them. So those first two churches, literally God showed me those pastors here to work with them. We didn't go and say, I wonder what kind of a church they have. Should we partner with them? Mm-hmm. We just said, okay, God said it, so we're going to do it. Both churches have grown through these years with our partnership. Their ministries are stronger. Their numbers have grown. Their buildings have grown. And we've talked with them as well that we need to start looking for the next churches that we will partner with. A good organization evaluates your mission statement and says, are we meeting this?
Mm-hmm.
And are the methods we're using to meet it the right ones for us still as they were 8 years ago? So the one thing that we see really almost, I don't know if you want to say a failure or we just say we're not doing it. And that's the piece of sustainability, self-sustainability. But if America get a financial collapse next week, Kulea would end within a couple of months because we are dependent heavily, 100% right now, on American and European donors. We do have some donors and sponsors in Europe. We don't have any money-generating activities in Tanzania or in Kenya. We thought in the beginning, oh, well, we're going to build on the land. We're going to make this self-sustainable village. That was a great plan in 2008 when we started talking about it, and then the land came in 2010. The problem is in 2013, we applied for a grant with a wonderful organization, Engineering Ministries International, and they approved our grant in December and came in 2014 with a group of design professionals. So they brought two architects, two civil engineers, a structural engineer, two electrical engineers, a graphic designer, and more. I can't even remember all that they brought. It was a large team of 14. And even one of the electrical engineers is Tanzanian. They even bring design professionals from the country. They surveyed our land and told us it's not 75 acres that you bought, it's 70, you know. And they gave us all of these plans that the architect working with me and with my chairman to hear our vision for this land. And then working with the engineers who say, well, you can't build that there because of this, you know.
Right.
And they did soil sampling and water samples of our well. They came back with a plan that was absolutely amazing to build a childcare village, but the price tag was $6 million. So we have these plans, but we're like, okay, we're still so new. So at this point, we have a caretaker on the land. We had a missionary live on the land for a short time, and so he built a small house there, and we have a deep water well. Beyond that, we're using the land for growing some crops. We are not self-sustainable yet. So we feel like that's our future. Mm-hmm. And we have, I don't know if you'd say it's partnered with, but I feel like it is. We partnered in a way with Forgotten Voices, another nonprofit. Their founder, who was executive director until this past May, Ryan Keith, has met with us a number of times. And he just is such a heart for God. And he has listened to our story and our plea for how do we become sustainable. And he has shared with us very openly what they do and said, we are an open book, and he is walking beside us as we learn some of the parts of their model that we want to adapt. It's not like we're changing, we're just adding this piece of self-sustainability. So what they do is they go in and they very carefully choose the church, and this is what we will be doing. So I'm moving to Tanzania, and one of the things I'll be doing is doing this on the ground. They go to seminaries and meet with the seminary professors and leaders and say, this is the kind of pastor we're looking for to partner with. They need to have a seminary degree, number one. They need to be someone who is not the king of the mountain and I'm in charge of this church and it's mine, but someone who sees gifts in other people and empowers them to do the work.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.